I'm Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
Hello and welcome to the RotoViz Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Stefan Lacoe, joined again this week by Jake Beeman and T-Hoff. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing this Sunday evening?
Doing well. How are you?
I went to Casa Bonita, which if you live in the Denver area, you know all about that. And it's like this crazy cliff diving Mexican place, and I feel terrible. The food is awful, but I survived somehow. T-Hoff, how you doing, man?
Did you at least have some sopapillas? I think those are pretty good.
I couldn't do it.
From what I recall.
Couldn't do it. I didn't touch them. I was done. But, you know.
Yeah, anyone who's lived in Colorado and or seen South Park should be familiar with Casa Bonita.
Right.
I'm doing great. A day of good baseball and some interesting storylines, you know, some stuff to overreact to if we'd like, or stay the course and we'll get into it. But doing well.
Of course, I feel like we could just start off with like a Premier League podcast where you two can just hash it out. We've got a Tottenham fan and a Liverpool fan between the two of you guys, and quite the matchup this morning.
It's been an emotional roller coaster of a weekend for me. I've Texas Tech alumni going to the Final Four for the first time in school history, so I was riding high yesterday, and then my Astros started 1-3, and Tottenham lost this morning to Liverpool, so
in
a perspective.
Yep. It was pretty up and down for sure. I was excited to see Michigan State pull through. I became a fan of theirs when I started watching college basketball, and it was fun seeing them get that win over Duke. I did not expect that, so I was happy. It means I have now zero chance of winning my bracket pool, but that's okay. I'll take it. I will take it. Some things are better than money.
Yeah, I stopped caring about I stopped caring about my bracket when my actual team kept winning. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't think I have a single Final Four pick. Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, North Carolina. That was my Final Four. So,
yeah,
not looking good.
Yeah, you know, that's why we stick to baseball. let's get into some of the big news. Let's start off with one that I just thought was super disappointing. I mean, We talk about the Rockies a lot on this podcast for good reason. They're a fun team. Daniel Murphy finger injury, the broken finger is a real disappointment. What did you guys think of this going forward? Let's start with you, Jake.
Well, we don't have a lot of information yet. It seems like it was a fracture on the very tip of his finger. So we don't know what that means for his timetable. It doesn't sound like the Rockies know what it means for his timetable. We're not going to find out more information until Monday. It's definitely disappointing this early in the season, especially for a guy that's always riddled with injury problems. But it's certainly disappointing. But, you know, I think once we find out more information on Monday, then we can make a better assessment of what to do with it from a fantasy perspective.
Right. This is terrible. I have a lot of Ryan McMahon shares, and they're like, it's not too bad. Hampson will come in at second. McMahon will shift to first. I was like, no, damn it. I need him to get second base eligibility. I'm counting on this in so many leagues. But luckily today he was, Ryan McMahon, that is, was at second base, today or yesterday, actually. Now I can't remember. The days have blended into each other, but I know since the injury he has played at second base. So I was at least, happy for that. Because I need some of that eligibility. But that's one of those things, like, you don't think about how you know, you can have all these plans going into the season, and injuries not only to your players but even to other players on that team can really shift things up pretty quickly. Disappointing for sure. Some other injury news to talk about. Upton to miss 8 to 12 weeks with turf toe. That is not ideal for people who drafted him. I know you weren't too high on him to begin with, T-Hoff. Would you drop him, or would you stash him on the IL for a while and just wait this out? Or would you want to try to grab someone else who can help you now?
Yeah, if you have a spot, it depends on, you know, the size of the league. But I ended up stashing him for now. You know, he's someone that's going to be really streaky for you. And actually didn't really, I drafted him in our listener league, which was not something I was planning on doing, but
yeah, he fell pretty late.
He fell late, and, I needed an outfielder there with five outfielders. So I have a share of him, and I kind of wish I, don't have one, but, for now I'm just stashing him. I think that was before we knew it was 8 to 12 weeks though. So, you know, I'll probably look to, if there's some better options, I'd be fine dropping him.
Yeah. I can tell you, in that league, five outfielders, 14 teams, there's no better options out there.
Yeah, that might be the problem. We'll slim, see. I mean, maybe Carlos Gonzalez gets some playing time. I have him too, but I'm looking to move him. So my outfield is actually not looking great in that league.
Yeah. One last piece of injury news to talk about. Hunter Strickland landed on the 10-day IL with a grade 2 lat strain, which is not ideal. And really disappointing for the Mariners, who will now be without their closer. They did have Bradford pick up the save for them today, which I wouldn't pick him up expecting that to be the norm. But yeah, really disappointing. Closers already, I mean, we were just talking about this before we hit record, but closer is such a tough position right now anyway, just trying to figure out who's doing what and where, and trying to make sense of it all is really difficult. And he was one of those guys that we could pencil in as, okay, at least we're pretty sure he's the closer, and now he's gone. So one more complication to throw to the mix. So that those are some of the injury updates. Lindor is going to get a second opinion on his ankle on Monday, so we'll know more about that. It's kind of hard to get into more details on that, not really knowing what's happening. But what about some news just from like some player news, not injury related, just stuff you've seen through these first few days of baseball that have really stuck out to you? Jake, why don't you give us a couple?
Well, I think the first thing I have to point out is the Yelich homering in his first four games. that bodes well for our little bet that we made in the outfield preview, where you took the under on 27.5, I believe it was.
It was just 27.
27.
Even
so,
worse.
Even worse for you, yeah. I do like my steak medium well.
Yes.
You know, garlic mashed potatoes.
Medium well, really?
No, medium rare. Did I say medium well?
You did, and I thought you were. Oh. I thought you had really major psychotic problems there for a second.
No. Medium rare. I'm
okay,
sorry.
It's better.
Yeah,
I'm from Texas. Yeah. It should still be bleeding.
Right.
Yeah, that's a blasphemous.
Yeah, Yelich, though, man, he is, I mean, starting off the year, four home runs in four games, like one in each game, too. I think one more and he'll break the record to start off a season. That's pretty incredible. Definitely letting people know regression means nothing to him. Like, he is just killing it.
Yeah, and he hit a walk-off double today, I saw. To cap off the weekend. So he had a great opening weekend. Hopefully he keeps that up. And for all of you Yelich owners out there, kudos to you for snagging him.
Yeah, indeed. What about you, T-Hoff? Any bits of baseball excitement that you want to share with us? Stuff that kind of piqued your interest or got you excited for these first couple games?
Yeah, I'm excited. I have a couple shares in Pete Alonso, and he's looked pretty good there. So I hope he keeps it up. I mean, he just looks poised and is hitting the ball pretty well there. So I'm excited that I was able to grab a couple shares of him. Was excited for Trevor Story getting off with first game of the year with that just massive home run, and then second game was good, but Rockies were. Their bats were very poor in the second two games in that four-game series against Miami. So even though John Gray got 10 Ks, they were shut out that game. So I'm disappointed that that was a 2-2 series. But Excited about that. Nervous about pitching. I loved some Trevor Bauer. He looked awesome. Carrasco was bad though. So yeah, there's a bunch of starting pitchers that I was hoping we'd get off to a better start, which we'll get into a little bit. But it's a long season, and you can't overreact to one start.
Oh, you can, and we will. Just to let you guys know kind of what we were wanting to do for the show today, we're going to get into a little bit of should we or should we not be overreacting to some of the interesting items of note, whether they be good or bad. Then we'll talk about some of the matchups for this upcoming week. We'll get into some of the most added and dropped players who we recommend picking up off the waiver wire or dropping to make room for those. And then we'll look at some two-star pitchers and compare them to pitchers that you probably already have owned and kind of see, do you want to start a guy with a rough start but a higher pedigree pitcher or go with one of these two-star guys? And we'll finish off by looking at some streaming options for you and just kind of finish the show off with a little bit of some listener questions and stuff like that. So we got a full show for you, so we're going to get moving here pretty quick. Let's talk about some...
Please. Are we going to skip over the Dodgers home run parade?
Oh my God. I don't know if they're still hitting home runs. I don't know what the number should be at this point. You know, like, oh man, they've been amazing. It's been so much fun to watch.
Yeah, they're really good or because their Arizona's pitching is really bad.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit of both, but man, they just look awesome. That's for sure. I've been really enjoying Bellinger and Max Muncy have both been, I mean, Muncy not to the same degree as Bellinger, of course, but it's been tremendous. They look awesome right now. Them and the Mariners. I mean, the Mariners are just putting up so many runs every game too. It's pretty incredible. But speaking of which, let's overreact or not. What do you think of this Dodgers offense, Jake? Is it as good as we're seeing right here? Or, I mean, obviously they'll come down to earth a little bit, but do you think this is a lineup that no matter who your pitcher is, you got to think twice before setting them out against the Dodgers?
Absolutely. I think, you know, we knew that the Dodgers were going to be good coming into the season from an offensive perspective. And then when you factor in that, we had question marks about Corey Seager's health and how he was going to bounce back. We had questions about whether or not last year was a sophomore slump for Cody Bellinger, what Max Muncy was going to bring to the table. And all three of them have come out and hit a home run. We had question marks about AJ Pollock and his health. If these guys stay healthy and the guys that we were concerned about whether or not they were going to kind of have bounce back seasons like Bellinger, if they stay healthy top to bottom, it might be the most potent lineup in baseball. I mean, it's going to be right up there with the Yankees and Astros lineups. It's definitely an offense that I would fear as a pitcher or as a fantasy manager rolling out a pitcher against that offense. It's looking like it's a pretty, pretty potent lineup. And they did all that at home too.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not even like, I mean, it's still cold outside. Well, I don't know if it is in LA, but yeah, they look incredible. I won't be starting unless it's a top tier ace. I'm not starting people against them if I can help it. So T-Hoff, let's look over at some of these kind of surprising pitchers that we weren't maybe most of them probably weren't drafted in the majority of leagues. Got Matt Shoemaker, Brad Keller, Jordan Zimmermann, all with just phenomenal starts. Pineda looked really good today. Just some undervalued guys maybe that just started off really, really hot with their really great first starts. What do you make of that? Are these people that you want to look to add depending on matchups going forward, or are you going to take a wait and see approach?
I'll have a wait and see approach. I did draft Pineda in a league or two. He looked really good today, actually. It was limited to 4 innings. So that's, you know, today wasn't the day for him to get a full 6 and get a quality start for you. But he's a guy that I want to have some shares of over the course of the season. Matt Shoemaker is a guy I've always just really liked. I'm still taking a wait and see approach for him. But if I have a pitcher that went, you know, hit the IL, I might consider drafting him or adding him, excuse me. And then the other two, not so much. I mean, Jordan Zimmermann did look very, very good, but he's on the Tigers still, right? So I'm not sure that he's someone that I want, though I don't want on my roster, especially in a 10-team league. You know, if it's 12 or 14, then and I need to stream him in a good matchup, then I might keep my eye on him more now than I would have before. But that's about it.
Yeah, I just looking at Shoemaker real quick here. Pitching for Toronto. Many people may not realize that. He's only 7% owned. We don't actually, none of us picked him. Each one of us kind of picked two guys that we want to call out for our streaming options, you know? And none of us actually pointed to Shoemaker. So he's only 7% owned. I believe his next game is against Baltimore. Should we have added him to our streaming list as a potential guy to pick up and use this next matchup?
All three of these guys are guys that they're exactly that. They're streamers. You're going to have to play the matchups with them. They're not guys that you're going to add to your roster, put them in a starting pitcher slot and roll them out no matter what. They're just not that for you. Shoemaker to me is the most intriguing name on the list. He has had very short spurts of success in the past. So I am intrigued in employing him as a streaming pitcher. As far as this upcoming matchup, it's against Baltimore. Is it in Baltimore?
It is at home.
It is at home. Then I would consider streaming him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Toronto's not a great place for pitchers, but you know, it's not a terrible place either. It's an eh.
Right.
For me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just if you need it, sure.
Yeah. And Zimmerman's against the Yankees. I don't think you want to use that. Keller has one against the Yankees and one against Detroit. So maybe if on Sunday you need a streaming option, maybe look to Keller if you haven't. But when we get to streaming guys later, I might ask if you would prefer them over Shoemaker. So yeah, we can think about that. One of the crazy ones for me in talking about like great pitchers who had bad games or bad outings. We had Sale, Greinke, Syndergaard, and then, you know, whether or not you consider Yu Darvish great, I don't think many people do anymore, but I was hoping for better. Yu Darvish threw 57 pitches to start the game before a ball was put in play. That is ridiculous. That is just crazy. He had a lot of walks in there, a couple of strikeouts, and just lost control of the game pretty quickly. Was pretty disappointing. What do you make of these guys, Jake? Are these guys, I mean, obviously you're not dropping any of these players, but what's your level of concern for Sale, Greinke, Thor, and Darvish?
I mean, it's such a small sample size. There are things that point to concern, but with this small of a sample size this early in the season, I don't think with this caliber of pitchers, I don't think you can overreact too much. The thing that concerned me with Sale the most was, and you and I were chatting about this during the game the other night, but his velocity was down quite a bit, especially after the first inning. And when he was missing, when he was missing, he wasn't missing by a couple of inches. He was missing by 8-10 inches from his target. So that was a little bit concerning for me. But it sounds like Sale's, you know, his history, he's always kind of ramped up a little bit with his velo. You know, they definitely try to conserve his velocity, so to speak, in spring training. And I just don't think he was, I don't think he got enough reps in spring training. And I think that was probably why the results were as they were. I typically would not be concerned about Chris Sale. I wouldn't sweat Syndergaard's bad start.
He's up against Washington next, which is obviously not an easy lineup. If he starts with two rough outings, would you start getting nervous or would you start making some trade offers to the Syndergaard owner thinking they might be nervous?
Well, sure. Take advantage of, an owner that's overreacting. I still think it's too small of a sample size. I don't think we can really overreact in terms of dropping a guy or trading him away or whatever it is. I don't think we can overreact about guys that you're drafting in the first two, three rounds for the entire month of April. I mean, wasn't it Matt Carpenter? Was it last year that he got off to such an abysmal start and then just tore it up? I mean, you just can't overreact. Baseball is such a long season and there's so many ups and downs and players go through slumps. You know, if you're worried about his start or his matchup, if you're seeing things that you're concerned about, then don't start him, but definitely don't drop him because, you know, he gave up, you know, a few too many runs against the Nationals if we're talking about Syndergaard.
Yeah.
So.
No, I think that's good advice. Yeah. I've got a question for you, T. Hoff. There's a specific player who has over a 1600 OPS. He's averaging double digit points a game, just about. His name is Javi Baez. You ready to eat some crow on this one yet? You think you may have been wrong calling him your bust and saying you wanted nothing to do with him, or are you going to stick with it a little longer?
I'm definitely going to stick with it a little bit longer. I think that's been four games, right? Three games. Yeah, that's only four games. Like, he'll have stretches. He'll have these stretches or these series where he plays great. But over the course of the season, I still think that he comes back down to earth a little bit. Not saying he's not going to be valuable to own, but I am avoiding him just because I prefer other players in the position. But he was a lot better these first four games than I thought he was going to be. And touching on pitchers really quick, the one that I'm the most worried about there was Darvish, just because I watched a lot of that and he looked pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm not, if I owned him, I wouldn't be excited about starting him against Atlanta in Atlanta at all. I'm probably not starting him. He looked just terrible. I mean, he might just need a few games to get back into the rhythm of playing in the professional baseball league again. But yeah, it was not pretty.
Yeah. One pitching note I wanted to get to that I forgot to mention was Shane Bieber came out of the bullpen today because Carrasco was getting knocked around a little bit. And they said that they're planning on using him out of the bullpen this next maybe couple games. And he may not or will not get a start until the earliest would be April 7th, which is Sunday. So I know I was really high on Shane Bieber. He's a guy that I talked about a lot this preseason, someone that I had as my breakout, and he is not going to be getting his first start in the majors until at the earliest the end of this week. So that's a real disappointment and definitely something to monitor if you're in a league where you have to set your lineups early and it's like a weekly format. Definitely keep that in mind. Not ideal for us Bieber owners and the matchup there too. For Cleveland would be Toronto. So again, not a bad matchup, but just something to keep your eye on to make sure he does get in there. But just thought I would bring that up as well. Let's move on and look at some of the upcoming matchups. Are there any big matchups that you guys are looking forward to this next week? One that I'm really excited about is the Philadelphia at Washington series. I'm just pumped to see Bryce Harper go back to Washington and just to see what all happens there, how he gets received. And then Philadelphia ends the week with Minnesota. So again, me loving Bryce Harper, he's my MVP pick. I'm excited by everything he's doing. And Minnesota looks good so far. Their pitching's been pretty solid. So I think that'll be a fun one. Jake, do you have any that you're kind of eyeing for fantasy purposes this upcoming week?
Well, Oakland draws Boston at home, and then Houston in Houston. Those are two pretty potent lineups. Not that we were necessarily super excited about any of the A's starters to begin with.
Although Montas looked good, and I did look to see who he's playing because it's like, man, he might be worth streaming this week. And then seeing that lineup, I was like, yeah, maybe another week. Yeah,
right. Yeah, that one jumps off the page to me. You know, what was the other one? Atlanta drawing the Cubs, who, you know, have a little bit shaky, and then Miami both at home is exciting for the Atlanta bats.
I think Miami's pitching's been pretty solid to start the year off.
It has. But that Atlanta offense at home, I don't know. It's they're young pitchers. I think it'll be a big a big homestand for Atlanta in terms of offensive production.
Yeah, nice.
So
how about you, T-Hoff? Any series you're looking forward to this week?
Yeah, did we mention Cleveland against White Sox in Toronto? I'm really curious to see how they do. I think those are good matchups for Cleveland. I would like to see them, you know, to see if they can really, you know, perform well there. I have some questions about how good their offense is going to be, especially without Lindor right now. So
I got into it with a friend of mine from one of my leagues. He's like, the Indians offense is terrible. It's probably the worst offense in the entire majors. And I was like, okay, no, they're terrible. But I was like, I bet you I can name 10 that are worse than them. And it was actually a really interesting exercise is coming up with like teams worse than Cleveland. And there's not as many as you'd think. I mean, there's definitely plenty to pick from. But yeah, their offense is nowhere near as
right.
I mean, it's definitely not scary. It's actually a matchup you might want to target right now. But the AL in general is kind of like that. I feel a lot of these teams there's like four or five teams that are really, really good. And the rest are just kind of like meh. And yeah, Cleveland, those could be some low scoring series. Definitely target a lot of pitchers in those ones. That's definitely a good one to point out.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm also curious to see, you know, how Colorado plays against the Dodgers and whether the Rockies pitching can hold up there. I mean, with the Dodgers averaging 11 points per game or something like that, I think that'll be interesting to see how, you know, I haven't looked at the matchups there, if it's Freeland, Marquez or Gray or whoever. But yeah, curious to see if they can keep them under control.
Yeah, definitely. It looks like it'll be Anderson, Gray, and Bettis going against the Dodgers is what they have projected right now. We'll see if that holds, but a lot can change within a week. But yeah, the other one is start your Yankees pitchers. They get Detroit and Baltimore at Baltimore, so those should be good. Of course, man, the one thing that Yankees pitchers do is they go five strong and then give up a couple runs in the, you know, in the beginning of the sixth inning, get pulled and don't get you the quality start. That's just like the Paxton and Tanaka special, I'm afraid. So definitely watch out for that. They're here to break your hearts. Let's move on. Let's get into the most added and dropped. Let's start at the with the hitters. The most added shouldn't be too surprising. We've got Beckham at 45%. Tatis, so a couple of shortstops there. Kike Hernandez, who you know, we didn't mention as one of the crazy bats out in Los Angeles, but he just had a monster game where he hit two home runs. I picked him up that next day, and then he sat because he was not going up against left-handed pitching. I got Domingo Santana, Jock Peterson, Pete Alonso, and Luke Voit are the top seven guys that are being added. T-Hoff, which one of these guys, I mean, you mentioned Pete Alonso at the top, so maybe pick a different guy. Have you added any of these guys? And if not, which one of these would be, you know, assuming you would just throw them in at your utility position, so just kind of don't think too much about that, but which one of these guys is most interesting to you?
It's, yeah, if Tatis Jr. is out there, you have to grab him. I think that's pretty clear, at least it should be to most owners at this point. I mean, he could be one of the best players in the league in the next, you know, for foreseeable future. So I'm, you know, he's probably gone at this point, but if he's available, you got to grab him. Domingo Santana has actually looked really interesting to me, but that's mostly because I have had outfield issues. yeah. I cannot stand Jock Peterson at all, mostly because he's a Dodger. But he has looked really good. And
Peterson's a guy that if you're not in daily formats, you don't want him because he will not be playing every day.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I looked at adding Beckham. I think I might've even done it on one team, but I'm not expecting him to sustain this. I think he's going to be pretty streaky, but I think he's eligible both short and third, at least in the leagues I play in. So if you have needs there, he's someone you can maybe ride a hot hand, but I'm not interested in him long-term as a major solution.
Yeah, the one guy you didn't mention is the one guy that I've added in a few leagues and actually drafted in quite a few, and that's Luke Voit. He started off the season with that three-run home run, and I just got super excited because I was telling people to draft him, and I think he could have a real breakout season. So yeah, I think all of these guys are worth adding to your team, actually. Beckham is maybe the one that I think is the least likely to sustain this. And Tatis, you know, the range of outcomes is so wide, like you mentioned, him being a rookie. Kiki Hernandez, of course, you got to watch the platooning there because they do want to get Chris Taylor some at-bats in Los Angeles. Let's jump over to the pitchers that are added, Jake, and have you kind of go through these. We've got Chris Paddock, number one, then Greg Holland, Stroman, Strom, Urias. I don't know how to pronounce his name, so maybe you can help me with that.
And Urias is correct.
Urias, okay. And then Ryu. Same question for you. I mean, Greg Holland is the only traditional closer we have in this range, but any of these guys excite you? Any have you put any claims on these? And if so, which one? And if not, who would you be most likely to pick up?
Well, you know, we talked about Chris Paddock on the last episode. He's a guy that if he's out there in your league, I would definitely go ahead and snag him. He does offer a lot of upside potential.
Can I ask you a quick question? I'm going to interrupt you real quick. He looked really, really good today, but only went five innings because I know Oakland is really, really keen on keeping his innings down. If you're in a quality starts league, or even if you're not, just knowing he's most likely not going to be getting you more than six innings, and even that might be a stretch sometimes, does that limit your excitement about him? Or is it just like, man, I'll take the five great innings and be happy with it?
Well, that's the thing with quality starts is it's almost, and I assume you meant San Diego, not Oakland.
Sorry. Yes, I did. I still kind of get him and Lizardo. They're just both. I have a lot of both of them and I kind of get confused.
Quality starts is one of those stats that is starting to become a little bit irrelevant in terms of how managers are using pitchers these days. You know, if your league gives a very big point value to quality starts, then maybe that's a debate worth having. But if he's going to go five innings and give up zero or one runs you know, have a low whip and, you know, not surrender a lot of home runs or anything like that versus a quality start, and maybe he gets into that third time through the lineup and he's giving up three earned, just barely getting the quality start, the point values are probably pretty similar to how many points he's going to get you. So in this early in the season, you know, it's not just the young guys that are going to have innings limits on them. You're going to see a lot of guys pulled when they get to certain pitch counts, regardless.
I guess my fear with Paddock is that it's going to be like this for the majority of the year. But again, that's just speculation. So yeah. So sorry, I cut you off on Paddock there. What about these other guys? Stroman, Strom, Ryu, Urias. Well,
we talked about, let me jump over to Urias because that's another guy that's very similar to Paddock in that you're probably not going to see him go much further beyond, you know, beyond the fifth inning. He's probably not going to get through probably not going to get to the third time through the order, a similar situation there, but a certain number of innings of quality of high quality stuff is better than six innings of
Yu Darvish
of average production. You know, I would always, you know, sure, you get bummed that you're not going to get the quality start, but I would much rather have five innings of scoreless ball than six innings of three earned and a possible loss at that, because if their team loses 3-2 and he gave up three, sure, you get the quality start, but then you turn around and lose it because the team lost. So, but I, you know, Urias is a guy very much like Paddock that he's got a lot of high upside. I have no problems picking up Urias. Paddock, we talked about Stroman on our opening day episode. He fares a lot better in a points league, and he's one of those guys that's, you know, kind of always been a secret points league target of mine in the past, just because he's just always done better in a points league. He had a fantastic outing that kind of got overshadowed by Zimmerman's, you know, near perfect game. Stroman's a guy that I think, yes, you're going to play the matchups with Stroman, and he does have a tendency to give you three, four, five consecutive good outings and then get tanked, and then give you three, four, five consecutive really strong outings and then get tanked again. So he's a guy that you're going to possibly play the matchups with, but Stroman's a guy that I would play matchups with him on my roster, because he's probably giving you more quality outings than those outings where he's going out there and getting shelled. So right. Stroman's a guy that I like. I actually like all of the guys on this list. You know, I drafted Strom in a couple of leagues. A lot of these guys are pitchers with high upside. So we may be having very different conversations about these guys in a month or 6 weeks, once we have a large enough sample size to know what we're getting. Stroman's the only real, you know, Stroman and Ryu are the only real veterans on this list of starting pitchers, at least. The big question with Stroman is he fully healthy? The big question with Ryu is, how are the Dodgers going to use their starting rotation?
Right. And those are games that you need to play as the Dodgers play them. Let's move on to the most highly dropped batters. I want you guys to just stop me when I say a name that you would drop, assuming, now most of these guys that were dropped are because of injury, so assuming that you have an IL spot, tell me when you hear the name, if you would drop him, say stop, and then tell me why you would drop them. Otherwise, I'm just going to go. So number one, Scooter Gennett. So yeah, all of us agree we would not drop him. Kyle Seager.
If I have an open IL spot, I'm not going to drop any of these guys. But if I need that IL spot, I'll drop Seager. I don't think what he's going to give us, and the extent of his injuries and how long he's going to be out, there's no harm in putting him in your IL spot, but if you need that IL spot for somebody else, I would drop Seager.
Yeah, I don't see the point of rostering Seager. I mean, you called him out as a bust. You called him out as a bust, I think, Jake. Early, not even a bust. Just, I was like, why are people even drafting this guy? He was terrible last year. He has zero. I mean, and Ryan Healy right now is raking. Like, I don't even know if he gets much playing time when he gets. Anyway, we don't need to spend any more time on Kyle Seager. Matt Olson, Jed Lowry, Nick Senzel, LeMahieu, Hunter Renfroe.
Well, LeMahieu and Renfroe are guys that are not injury issues.
Right.
LeMahieu is a guy that playing time seems to be a little bit of a concern. And Renfroe, same thing. I mean, both of these guys are guys that are going to struggle to see the field every day. So it depends on the format of your league. It depends on all of that, but I'm not super excited about owning either of those guys without the guaranteed playing time. Now, if there's a significant injury to either of those two teams, the Yankees and the Padres, then that may be a different story. But
yeah. Yeah. I'm much more excited about all the batters that we talked about adding than about any of these bats. Nick Senzel, I wouldn't drop him just yet. Yeah. I mean, I have so many shares of Nick Senzel, it's disgusting, and I plan on keeping them. Let's run over to the pitchers that have been dropped. Let's not focus too much on the injured guys. Let's talk about one of the guys that doesn't have a team yet, Keuchel. If you drafted him, T-Hoff, are you going to hold on to him, or at this point, are you cutting bait? Same with Kimbrel, by the way.
Yeah, I actually have Kimbrel in one league. I'm waiting another week before I start to think about that. Was my decision recently, just to give it a little more time, as you know, some of these teams are kind of seeing how things work in the wild in real life. I think that will open some things up a little bit. So I'm waiting at least a week before I make those calls. Now, again, if you are really needing someone else, or you see a Tatis or Junior or a Voit or Alonso out there, maybe go grab one of those guys that pretty clearly is going to be valuable for you over the course of the season.
A guy like Keuchel, too, even if he gets signed tomorrow, you're probably looking at several weeks before he's actually seeing game action. I did read that he's throwing simulated games every 5 days so that he's ready to go, this, that, and the other. But there's not a team out there that's just going to pick him up and you know, let him walk to the mound, you know, on the major league squad without a couple of starts in the minors or some extended spring training action or something along those lines. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind too. I actually have Keuchel in one of my leagues that I'm actually pretty shallow in the pitching department on. And hesitated. I almost dropped him the other day, and I hesitated, and I, you know, I'm kind of on the same thought process as T-Hop here, you know, one more week, but beyond that, I'm starting to get a little impatient. Just because, you know, that even if he signs, he's still probably, you know, a couple of weeks away from actually contributing at the major league level.
Right. Yeah. And one of the injured guys that I was surprised that got dropped, he's the highest dropped pitcher, and that's Gausman, just because he was going, like, not early, but he definitely wasn't like your last round pick. You know, he was going in the middle rounds, and to see, you know, he's being dropped in 17.7% of leagues, that seemed pretty significant to me when he's not expected, unless something changed. But I don't think I don't think his timetable has changed at all. So I was just surprised to see that. But let's keep moving here. Let's go to a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we're getting into two start pitchers, streamers, and the rest. So give us 30 seconds, and we'll be right back in your ears.
You shouldn't go to Barnes & Noble and buy 10,000 books just so you can build a book fortress and yell out, "I am your book leader." You shouldn't buy 147 copies of War and Peace, stuff them inside turkeys, and serve them at Thanksgiving as turbookins. And you definitely shouldn't buy up all the copies of Dork Diaries, causing the neighborhood kids to stage a protest in your front yard. But you could, because at the Barnes & Noble Book Haul, you can get over 1,000 titles for 50% off. Stock up at your local Barnes & Noble. Turbookins are fictitious and should not be cooked at home.
And we are back. Let us get into this two-start pitchers. I don't think we need to get the list of every single two-start pitcher, because there's quite a few of them. Instead, T-Hop, just looking at the guys that you know, you've come across, who are some of the bigger name two-start pitchers that you're most excited about for this upcoming week?
If you own Clevinger, I think, again, like I said earlier, White Sox and Toronto are really great. That sticks out to me. I like Hendricks a lot this year, but at Atlanta and at Milwaukee are a little tough, especially Milwaukee. So that one, I'm probably still starting him in a league, depending on other options, but that's one that I'm monitoring a little bit. Boston with Price and Sale at Oakland and at Arizona, Arizona, I think, is going to be great for those. And Oakland, you know, they're good there. We've talked a lot about them, but I still like both those guys.
Yeah.
You
and
know, Sale a little bit more, maybe. I mean, there's obviously those concerns there, but I'm still rolling those guys out.
And Oakland, they can score runs, but that's also a team that strikes out a lot. But I probably should have said this first. The reason we talk about two start pitchers is for people who are in a weekly lineup, where you can't make the daily switching around, having a player that you can put in your lineup and just get those two starts out for the week, even without being able to switch them around, is why we talk about them. So when we talk about, would you rather do pitcher X who gets two starts or pitcher Y who only gets one start, that's what we're referring to, is in these weekly formats where you can't make daily roster changes. And daily, of course, this is a little bit less relevant. So just to let you know what we're doing here. But Jake, who are a couple guys that stick out to you with the two start pitchers?
Well, I think T-Hop mentioned the ones that are, you know, significant. I think it's worth pointing out that with where we're at in the season, most of these pitchers are 4 and 5 pitchers of their team's respective rotations. So you're seeing a lot of guys here that, yes, they're two start pitchers, but they're, you know, probably the fifth starter of their team's rotation. I think, you know, a guy like Steven Matz is a little bit intriguing to me. You know,
he gets at Miami and then at home against the Nationals.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love the at home against the Nationals, but at least it's at home. You know, a lot of pitchers tend to pitch better in their home ballpark. And of course the matchup in Miami is intriguing. You know, a guy like Brad Peacock, is interesting to me, although I fear the, you know, at Texas first matchup. And then he draws Oakland, Oakland at home. You know, Peacock is a name that a lot of us are excited about in terms of his value from a spark perspective and all of that. But, you know, the ones that definitely jump off the page are going to be your Price, Sale, Kyle Hendricks, although the matchups are pretty bad, Clevinger, Chris Archer, I think, is, you know, a guy that strikes out a lot of hitters, both home games, which is a plus, games in Pittsburgh, although, you know, St. Louis and Cincinnati both have some potent lineups. Matt Strom is a guy that I would consider as a two-start pitcher who doesn't draw terrible matchups here, although the sample size is pretty small with him still. I've talked about Stroman already. He does get a pretty favorable matchup, or both matchups are pretty favorable. And his teammate Clayton Richard is another one with favorable matchups that I would consider starting because of the double start.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, Yeah,
go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, what are you thinking about Newcomb with Cubs and then Miami at home? I know that's a little borderline with Newcomb, generally speaking, with our rankings, but him against Miami.
I'm so low on Newcomb. I think he'll get rocked against Chicago, and he won't be able to make up for it against Miami. I wouldn't want to start Newcomb if I had any sort of semblance. I wouldn't pick him up to sit one of my starting guys with a bad matchup. Let's talk about some of those guys real quick. Actually, let's talk about some of the starters who have rough matchups, and then we can kind of compare them to some of these two start guys. So Jake, who are a couple of maybe not aces, but borderline aces or guys you drafted to start for you that have kind of rough matchups this week that you might want to consider either a streamer or one of these two start pitchers for?
I'm sorry, you're asking guys with poor matchups?
Yeah, someone who you might consider...
Got it.
Might consider using a streamer over it because of the matchup.
Sure. Luis Castillo draws Milwaukee at home in Great American Ballpark. The way that the Brewers have been hitting this weekend, I don't know if I would want to really roll anyone out against the Brewers. And then Walker Buehler at Coors Field. I'm always very hesitant to roll any pitcher out at Coors Field. Unless they're a top 10, top 12 overall pitcher, I typically just avoid Coors Field for opposing pitchers in general. So those are two of the guys that I think have.
And Buehler got rocked today. He looked great and then just fell apart and gave up, you know. He got me -7 in one of my leagues today, which would have been worse had the Dodgers not bailed him out and made him get stuck with that loss. But gave up 5 earned, I believe. Not a good outing for him. So, yeah, at Colorado could be a problem. That game's on Saturday. I'm thinking about going to it, which I'm excited about. But, yeah, I don't intend on starting Walker Buehler. That's a good call. And I will also point out, he and Homer Bailey, those are two of the most unfortunate names for a pitcher. Walker and Homer. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, anyway. T-Hoff, who are a couple of guys that that you are going to be avoiding because of the matchups?
Well, we already talked about a couple of them, but I'm thinking twice about starting Darvish at Atlanta. I'd prefer Urias, San Francisco and Oakland, actually, there. Again, Castillo, like Jake mentioned, those are and Buehler as well. You guys hit on the main ones, that I'm probably avoiding going into next week.
Yeah. One of the guys that I'm kind of struggling with is Snell. He got rocked that opening day and he's up against Colorado this week. Now it is in Tampa, I believe. So that does help, but that Colorado's lineup has looked pretty good for the most part. I know they've had a couple of rough outings lately against Miami, but I'm nervous about Snell. Do you guys have any concerns? Would you roll Snell out there no matter what against Colorado?
Yes.
Yeah. So you are a firm believer of start your aces, Jake?
Especially this early in the season. I mean, yeah, if we're talking mid-June and he's had 3 or 4 bad starts in a row and there's something that we're seeing or hearing about that is concerning, then we can talk about sitting an ace, you know. But at this point of the season, the second you put him on your bench, he's going to go out there and throw 7 scoreless.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Snell hath no fury.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, two other guys for me, Kenta Maeda at Colorado. Again, you can see a theme here with the Colorado. And then Odorizzi is at Philly. Now, last time I told you to sit Odorizzi, that did not work out well. He pitched a gem, so maybe he'll be fine. But he's at Philadelphia, and that makes me nervous. Let's compare some of these guys to the two start, and even some other guys too, who have decent starting matchups, but are up against maybe pitchers with big upside with a two start. So who would you rather start? Would you start Clevinger with his White Sox in Toronto or Garrett Cole, T-Hoff, at Texas? Garrett Cole at Texas or Clevinger, if you had to pick Clevinger between those. Yeah, those two matchups. How about you, Jake?
I'd probably still lean towards Cole with his high strikeout potential and how much the Rangers strike out.
Yeah, and of course, in most worlds, you're going to start both of them if you have them both. So yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
both if given the option. But I've been talking about Clevinger the whole time, so I had to pick him.
Yeah. Zach Wheeler is another guy who's got kind of a rough, he didn't have a great game today, and he gets Washington next match. Would you rather have him at Washington, or would you start a guy like who you mentioned, Jake, Chris Archer, who's up against St. Louis and Cincinnati?
If I had to choose one, I would probably go Archer in this situation, but I'm probably starting both.
Right. No, that's helpful. Is Darvish a full-on sit for you, T-Hoff? It sounded like you were leaning that way.
Yeah, it is in this matchup. I want to see him look like he has control of his pitches before I feel comfortable rolling him out. Now, again, if my staff on my team is just awful and I need the start, then maybe I'll roll the dice. But I'm avoiding that if possible.
Okay. How about you, Jake? Do you agree, or would you be willing to roll Darvish out, or does he not get that same trust from you?
I would not roll Darvish out at Atlanta. I'm still not convinced that he's not still tipping his pitches.
Yeah, but that's fair. Tanaka has a great matchup versus Detroit, as we mentioned, but would you start him or a guy like Peacock who gets Texas and Oakland, Jake?
I struggle with this one. I'd probably say Peacock with two starts over Tanaka.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the, let's move over to streaming options to roll on here. What I want to do is what we're going to do for just a little competition between the three of us, we're each going to pick each week. We're going to pick two guys, one who's got, mid-level ownership, and then another guy who's available in just about every single league that you might be playing in. And then we're going to add up their points and see who wins the week, who wins the month, who wins the year, and there'll be shenanigans that follow. So Jake, give us your two. And the nice thing is Jake, he was a guy who put the show doc together today. Thank you very much, Jake. So he got first dibs. So the first guy he's going to talk about, I actually already picked up ahead of the two guys I'm going to talk about. So I think this is the right call if he's available in your league. So Jake, why don't you start us off with your first streaming option?
My first streaming option is Steven Matz at 33.6% ownership. I like the matchup here. I feel like he's going to get some run support in the matchup. And
he's
at
Miami.
At Miami, yep. And yeah. I like the matchup here. It's totally a matchup play.
Yeah, it's a good ballpark, and it's a bad lineup. And yeah, I think that's great. That I think is, I think all of us, I don't know, I won't speak for you, T-Hoff. Is that your favorite one of all the streaming options?
Matt's at Miami. Yeah, I think so. I mean, we'll get into mine here, but,
yeah. Well, why don't you give us the one you're most excited about?
Well, actually, I see him as more of a guy that I plan to start regularly, but Gibson, 38.6% owned at Kansas City. Now, he also has at Philadelphia, obviously. That's not great, but I like him at Kansas City there a lot. I think he's actually a lot more solid than most people give him credit for. He had to, he's not going to blow you away with, any amazing outings necessarily, but he's just going to provide really solid performance each time. ERA is about, between three, right there between three and four. I think that's legit, actually. I think he's someone that everyone should be considering if you don't already have him.
Yeah. And go ahead, Jake.
Yeah. I mean, Gibson's not going to strike out a ton of ton of batters. So, you know, he's very much a control pitcher that keeps the ball in play and keeps his, you know, ERA down because of his ability to keep the ball in the ballpark. He's not going to blow any, you know, he's not going to outpower any hitters with, you know, with velocity or crazy breaking pitches. There's not a whole lot of swings and misses with Gibson.
Yeah. One of the things,
would you, if it's a daily league, are you starting him against Kansas City, but not against Philadelphia?
Yeah, exactly. That's ideal. Now, if it's a weekly league and I have to take the at Philly, now that's something that, you know, consider twice, especially after the way Philly hit today. But I might be inclined to do so just because I do think he's going to be a great asset throughout the season. And I like what the Twins can do offensively a little bit. I think they can give him at least enough run support to keep him in the games, in line for wins, and hopefully, you know, help him avoid losses.
All right. My first guy that I'll talk about is owned in 45.7%, so barely meets the threshold of less than 50% owned, and that is Stroman, who we've already talked about. He gets Baltimore. He's my guy. If he's in your league, pick him up. Like Jake said, not even just as a streaming option. I mean, definitely stream him against Baltimore, but a guy you might want to keep on your roster for a little longer. For that matter, let's see how Matz does and Gibson. Like, these are all guys that we're recommending that might be better than streamers going down, throughout the season. T-Hoff, why don't we go ahead and double dip here and give us your second streamer that you want to talk to us about? A guy, you know, much less owned than some of the guys we've been talking about so far. A guy who is going to be available in most leagues here.
Yeah, I put this. I wrote his name here before the end of the game, but I'm interested in Kyle Wright. He's 9.9% owned. He has Miami at home on Sunday at the end of next week on the 7th. So, you know, you have to monitor that. It might get pushed depending on, you know, what happens throughout the week, if they have any, weather delays or anything, you know, like that. But he looked decent for his first start. He ended up with not a great line, only, I think, 4.1 innings and five walks. But for a young kid that, you know, that was making his first start, I really liked his attitude out there. I liked what he was bringing. So I'm really curious to see how he does. And against Miami, that's one that I'm considering.
Great. Jake?
Well, I forfeit my second pitch because I just read that Dakota Hudson, he's being skipped in the next.
I just read that as well.
Through the rotation. So I will have to forfeit.
Do you want to? Okay. Make. Why don't you scroll through a couple of ideas here while I give mine, and then you can give us one before we end the show here. I'll tee off, and I will do some talking while you do some quick research here, because we want you to get those points. My other guy is Eric Lauer. He's owned in only 10.2% of leagues. He gets Arizona. Now, Arizona looked really good today, but I really like Lauer. He pitched really well his first match. Now, he only had 3 Ks in 6 innings, which, you know, isn't ideal, but only one walk and just looked really, really good. I'm excited to see what he can do. He gave up only, you know, 4 hits, 1 walk over 6 innings. So less than one whip. Now, it was against the Giants, so we'll see what happens in a matchup against Arizona, which is a little bit tougher. But again, only owned in 10.2% of leagues. He is a guy who I picked up to stream this upcoming week. Him and Matz were players that I was looking to for some streaming. It sucks needing to go for streaming help this early in the year, but in a lot of my leagues where we did the prolonged week, you need, like, you know, usually it's like 6 or 7 starts, but it's up to like 11 to 12 starts for this first week, and so I just need more arms. And and pitching has been such a rough start for me this year. I think through all my leagues, I've only got like a couple quality starts for my pitchers so far, so definitely not what I was hoping for.
I don't think you're alone there. I think in general, and this is what we talked about in the preseason too, I think, you know, having pitchers that are going to go deep in games and get you some points are going to be going to be tough to come by in a lot of senses. And, you know, yeah, there's just a lot of risk with pitchers. And I love that call there. I mean, Arizona, their lineup does not frighten me whatsoever this year, you know, without Goldschmidt. And I don't even know who I'm scared of in that lineup at all, actually. So, yeah, I love
that pick. Walker Buehler, he got lit up by them today. Yeah. So, again,
I'm lower on Walker Buehler than you guys. So,
that is very true. Have you been able to find anyone you want to throw out there yet, Jake?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Aaron Sanchez.
Oh, nice.
He draws Cleveland at Cleveland in his next matchup. And, you know, I think that's a pretty favorable matchup for him. He had fairly decent outing his last time out, only went five innings, but didn't give up any earned runs, had six strikeouts against Detroit. And, you know, I think that's a pretty safe start against a Cleveland offense that it doesn't sound like is going to have Lindor in the offense or in the lineup at that point in time. So,
yeah. And he's only 10.5% owned. So definitely a guy that should be available in your league. I think that's a good call. I think these are some good options for people to look at. I mean, pick your favorite and, you know, one of them should be available in your league. If none of them are, well, then you can just send us an email and ask us for some help. You can do that at rotavizbaseball@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at rotavizbaseball. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. Let's finish off the show any guys, just some waiver wire advice here. Any guys that you would be blowing your fab on from the list we mentioned above, players that have been added a lot or dropped a lot, players that you would be jumping on?
It's all of the players that we've all talked about. We seem to be in consensus on those guys, all of the high upside guys like Tatis and Senzel and
how much
Pete
of
Alonso.
Your fab are you willing to put up this early in the season on a guy like Tatis in particular?
It ultimately depends on the structure of your league, the format, the roster construction, and how deep
if you don't have a shortstop, you waited for that last one to come, you didn't get him, you're in a 12-team league and you're rolling Jorge Polanco out there every week or every day, what are you going to do with Tatis? Are you going to put a 20% claim on him, or is that still too aggressive?
No, if I don't have, I mean, if I'm starting a guy like Polanco every day, then yeah, I'm going to throw 20% out there on Tatis.
Yeah.
You know, same with a guy like Chris Paddock and Matt Strom, maybe a little less with those two pitchers, since pitchers are a little less reliable, especially the younger pitchers. But I'd go up to 20%. I probably wouldn't go much more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. On these guys that have a lot of, you know, that have huge upside as well beginning the season, I think it's worth spending a little extra. And I think, you know, this gets talked about pretty often, but most leagues are going to have a handful, if not half, that start to lose interest over the dog days of summer. And so you're going to be able to make, you know, some fab pickups for zero. So, you know, you are making a lot of transactions over the course of a year. Most owners are anyways. So, you know, you have to take that into account. But I think for these guys like Tatis or Alonso or Voit even, or some of these pitchers that we've talked about, I think it's worth spending some money. I added Colton Wong, but that's just because I had Murphy. He started off really well. Not a guy that I'm expecting to be a great second base option all year, but for now I'm hoping he'll be good. And I'm just looking through some of the names here, but that's the one that I've added just with my injury with Murphy.
Yeah. One last question. Just give me a real quick one sentence answer here. $0 bids for streaming pitchers, or are you going to spend a little extra if we're talking about fab? Are you going to spend a little extra to make sure that you land one of these streamers if you need them? Do you use $0 bids and just get whichever one falls to you, or are you going to pay up?
It depends on what's out there, but I typically, for a streaming pitcher that I plan on dropping right after that, I'm probably throwing a $0 bid out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say if the matchup is just awesome and they are a guy that I think is going to get me 6-7 innings and a handful of Ks and only give up a run or two, then I might do a dollar. But in general, I'm keeping that as low as possible. That's how I'm approaching it. It really depends on how good that streaming matchup is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you feel like there's, you know, only one or two good options, then throw a dollar to make sure that you outbid the guy that's throwing the $0 bid out there. But it's so dependent upon the situation and what your matchup is looking like and all of that. It's hard to say, but no, I wouldn't spend an extraordinary amount of money on a streaming pitcher who you're probably going to turn around and drop the next time you need a streamer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say if you're projecting it far enough out, it's hard to do, but if you have an injury issue and you're thinking you're going to use that guy for the next couple weeks, then maybe throw two or three onto there. And then that way, you know, you have that, that guy in your lineup that's going to fill that starting pitching spot or that start spot for you. So, you know, that's probably unlikely most of the time, but sometimes that works out where guys just have a good stretch of matchups. And in that case, I would add a little more as well.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Do either of you guys have any closing remarks before we take off?
Apparently not.
Yeah, well, you wrote one down in the show notes, T-Hoff. I was letting you go here, baby.
That's what I was waiting for, too.
Oh, I actually closed the doc. Can you do this, please? I'm sorry. Where is it?
It's a little advice that you might find in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's don't panic. It's too early to make big moves. I'm leaving this all in here, baby.
I've never read or watched any of that shit.
Don't watch it, just read it. It's an excellent, excellent series of books.
Yeah, my parting advice is don't panic. It's way too early to make big moves. If you expect a player to be good over the course of a season and he had a bad four games or a bad start, that is not a problem. I have a bunch of shares of Miles Michaelis. He was not great, but he was not great his first start last year either. So don't panic. It's too early to make big moves. Apparently this is a advice from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I will read that at some point this year and give you guys my thoughts.
Perfect. All right.
My closing remarks are that very similar. It's such a small sample size. We don't have enough information yet to make any judgment that is accurate to the long-term outcome of the season. So don't do anything rash.
Well, I'm panicking, and I've already made a couple of trades because of it. So I'm that guy. But no, in all seriousness.
Not the way.
Stick with the course. Stay true to what you believe. And, you know, always follow your dreams, something like that. All right, thanks for listening. We'll be back in your ears on, we're recording on Wednesday, so that one will be out on Thursday. This one will be ready for you before all the games, but you already know that because you're listening. Thanks again. We will talk to you soon.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's the Labor Day sale at Ace. Right now, buy one, get one 50% off on gallons of our top paint and stain brands like Valspar, Clark & Kensington, Cabot Stain, and Magnolia Home Paint. And with our Ace Extra Mile promise, we'll help you get everything you need to paint in one trip or delivery is free. Don't miss the Labor Day sale. Buy one, get one 50% off our top paint and stain brands. Now through Monday, only at Ace.
At participating stores, limit 2. Paint and stains can be combined. Delivery subject to availability. See acehardware.com for details.